Thank you. You're still here. All right. So my role today is really to provide some of the state perspective on workforce development and leadership issues. So building on what my fellow panelists have already shared with you, really going through what does this mean for state MCH programs. So quickly today, we'll go through some of the common workforce and leadership development issues for state MCH programs, talk about some challenges and opportunities, and then share some effective state and national models around workforce development and leadership. So quickly, what is AMCHIP? We are a national organization that is a resource, partner, and advocate for state public health leaders and others working to improve maternal and child health and youth with special health care needs programs. Specifically, our members are the state directors of the maternal and child health and children and youth with special health care needs programs, so every state and territory, also called the Title V program. So for our study, we did an assessment of the Title V information system. And let me just check, does everyone, Chris, you're not allowed to answer, but does everyone know what TVIS or the Title V information system is? No? Okay. So we have the architect, I think the heart and soul in the room, Chris, but it's an amazing resource. So if you don't remember much else of what I talk about, kind of leave the room knowing that you should go look at what we call TVIS, which is really a warehouse of data and information about each state Title V program, where each year they submit performance measures, priorities, and activities that you can search. So you can learn about what's happening in your state, what's happening in your region, or pick a few words that you're interested in just to see what's happening across the country. So we searched the Title V information system on some keywords related to workforce development, which are listed there, specifically looking at states' needs assessments. So every 5 years, state Title V programs conduct an extensive assessment of how the health is in their state, really drawing on community stakeholders and others' input, and then they turn that into a formal needs assessment of their community and followed up with priorities and performance measures that help guide their work for the next 5 years. So we were able to search their needs assessments around workforce development in those search terms and then summarize our results in needs and challenges, state priorities, state strategies, best practices, and family and youth leadership, and I'm going to talk briefly about each of those. So first, what are some of the workforce development needs and challenges? Well, clearly all states say that they need a competent MCH workforce. And while we may think that's stating the obvious, this is actually a little bit of a trend where states are beginning to address workforce development issues within their Title V needs assessments and applications. So really staking a need that we need to focus on this and holding them accountable by putting that in their application and then setting some performance measures and priorities. It's kind of the what gets measured gets done. Putting that in their application is going to assure that they're going to work on this or at least address it. So specifically stated, there's a need for standardized and ongoing workforce training, including funding for that, strategies to address capacity shortages, and strategies for succession planning. Certainly the state issues are similar to those that you've heard from my local health colleagues. So I think, thinking about that this is affecting us at many levels. And states pointed out some of their challenges. There's an aging workforce, and so Title V directors or MCH directors are aging, getting ready to retire. Some of them are taking advantage of statewide programs to encourage early retirement. And there isn't necessarily a bench in place, so someone who's primed and ready to step into that position. And so as states are thinking more about the succession planning, they're very important issues right now. Retention of staff is also an issue. I think as Holly noted also, people aren't entering state health for a career. They're coming for a couple of years, testing it out, and then moving on to do other things. This is obviously not an easy time to work in state government, and so looking to the private sector, looking at other resources to go to the state for a few years and then move on. So retention of young staff is an issue. Technology limitations around workforce development and training. Not every state health department has the top-of-the-line technology to enable staff to take advantage of the array of training workforce development programs out there, and there's also limited access to training, so inability to travel due to funding and travel restrictions, and then also being in a state that's not close to other places where you may be able to go and take advantage of leadership workforce development training. So some of the priorities related to workforce development that states included in their applications, 9 states and territories identified workforce capacity and training needs as a priority area. And as I mentioned before, this is actually a growing trend where states are putting it in there. And so this is a good thing that they're thinking about it. So specific things are just identifying what the training needs are for their staff, and then securing adequate funding for training, leadership development, and mentoring, and then also being able to measure, is that effective, what we're doing to support workforce development for our staff. Some of the specific competencies cited as needs are evaluation and data analysis. And then just wanted to kind of supplement that with a few state examples. So for instance, in Tennessee, they're actually going to design and implement a workforce development program. And so really thinking about that, they put this into their application last year, and now they're going to spend the next couple of years developing that. These are good states to look at to see, you know, what is this trend? What are they actually going to do in the next couple of years? Maryland has an agency-wide focus on really developing young leaders, so kind of across the health department in Maryland, to really think about the next generation. And in Oklahoma, they're investing in their existing MCH workforce leadership competencies, specifically focusing on data analysis and program evaluation. So building on that, some of the strategies that states are pursuing, there's a wide range, and where times are tough, you have to get creative, you have to leverage resources and kind of think about your community and academic partners. And so what we've seen from states is that they are really trying to work with universities, thinking about, can we partner with other units within the health department around some key topics, like cultural competency or evaluation, some things that are cross-cutting across programs. And as I mentioned, looking at leveraging community resources, and I'll give a couple examples of that. States are trying to support leadership development training for staff, so taking advantage of what opportunities they can, and they're pursuing grants on workforce and leadership development. So fortunately, there are agencies that are offering those grants, and so we can thank Laura and her division for that, but that states are taking the time to invest in writing that application and thinking about how that could be a good use for developing their staff. So some specific examples in Alaska, they showed us that they're partnering with professional groups within their state for training, specifically looking at the dental association within the state and how they could look for opportunities in partnering with them to provide kind of for their oral health professionals and workforce development. In Iowa, collaborating with community job loss resources and temp agencies, so thinking even more basic workforce development. Kentucky and Louisiana explained that they were partnering with their academic institutions on MCH certificate programs, MCH leadership training grants, and there are many states doing this. These are just two that actually cited that in their needs assessment. Ohio's working with their state public health association, developing more web-based distance learning resources, and so these are for health professionals across the state, not just maternal and child health. Utah, kind of looking geographically, what do they have around them? They have two regional training institutes, and so looking at those opportunities and figuring out how to leverage that to provide training workforce development for their staff. And then Washington State really cited being able to tap into some of those federal and national internships and training programs, so you can really fill some gaps in at least a short-term period. Maybe it's a couple months over the summer, or maybe it's a year, but tapping into what's called the GSIP program, which is a graduate student program to get students into health departments for a summer internship, so filling some EPI capacity for the summer, or looking at a year or two long fellowship to really fill a gap, and then hopefully retain that staff or recruit them back for the future. As we did our search, there's a lot of wonderful information about leadership development for family and youth leaders within states. And I think one of the beautiful things about state MCH programs is really that understanding and appreciating that families and youth are the workforce as well, and so really focusing on what that workforce development is. So 22 states and one territory mentioned efforts to promote family leadership. And this is really training families to advocate, even to be part of committees, how to speak up as a family member, and so really develop their leadership that's catered to a family or youth leader. And so they're partnering with family organizations like Family Voices or the Family to Family Health Information Centers, and really just supporting that overall growth. So a few examples of that: in Alabama, youth who are part of the State Youth Advisory Council go through a training through the Governor's Leadership Forum to really develop youth within their state. In Colorado, they're implementing an evidence-based program, which is called the Family Leadership Training Institute, which three other states have also been implementing. Georgia's developing an online family leadership development curriculum. And lastly, in West Virginia, they have a program called Partners in Policymaking Leadership, where they're really training families within their state to be able to participate actively on state committees. So what are some of the best practices that we've seen? First, as a starting point, states are actually assessing what their workforce and training needs are, and Oklahoma was a state that's doing that on an annual basis. And then, as we said, beginning to set priorities around that. So putting that in writing and saying we're going to do this and helping them to move forward. And following from that, really starting to commit their own resources and then apply for new resources that are available for training. A focus on expanding partnerships, as I said, and then as well a strong focus on family and youth leadership development, accessing those federal and other national internships and fellowship programs, and then looking to where the evidence base is, where it exists. There's much more evidence base around some of the family and youth leadership programs than there are in some of the other areas. So lastly, just wanted to end on two programs that AmCHIP is supporting to support development within Title V leaders. The first is our new director mentor program, which, similar to City Matches City Leader programs, is really catered to our member, and in this case, it's new Title V directors, so MCH, Children, Youth with Special Healthcare Needs directors who have been in their position for 3 years or less, to help support them to understand the context of their job, to really grow and be able to make effective decisions, to be matched with a more seasoned Title V director, to get that peer-to-peer mentoring, and then go through a competency-based program, which is based on the MCH leadership competencies, which Laura spoke about, and really do a combination of group work and networking and then individual work to go through these modules, but really a chance to help them stay in their job and succeed in their job. And we're happy to share more information on that program. We also have a program to support family leaders, and it's our Family Scholars Program, which AmCHIP's been supporting for about 15 years, which is really helping to identify emerging family leaders within states to help them understand MCH programs, to grow along a competency-based program as well, to develop a network of family leaders, to bring them to the annual AmCHIP's annual conference and really participate that as active family leaders as well. And so really identifying that families are an important part of our workforce and supporting their growth and development in a program that's specifically catered to their needs. Again, happy to share more information on that program. Just wanted to be able to share two examples of what we're doing at AmCHIP to support workforce development. I think I was supposed to say that at the beginning. I have nothing to disclose, but I'm happy to answer questions now. Thanks.